welcome to another episode of Interactive Control, the place to get all your burning industrial control questions answered. I'm your host, Michelle Rosinski. Today, we'll be discussing surge phenomena on centrifugal compressors with my guest, Sangram Gatto. Sangram is currently the services technical leader for compressor controls and Nexus Encore DCS at Nexus Controls. He has over 15 years of experience with past roles including lead controls engineer for steam turbine, motor compressor, turbo expanders, and centrifugal and reciprocating compressors. He has a Bachelor of Engineering in Electronics and Instrumentation. In this episode, we cover what surge phenomena is, its potential impacts, how it happens, how to protect against it, and what to look for when choosing your compressor control system. You won't want to miss it, so listen in to learn on. Hi, Sangram. Thank you for joining us today on the Interactive Control podcast.
Thanks for inviting me.
Of course. We're so glad to have you on. And today you'll be talking about compressor controls, which I'm excited to learn more about. So can you start off by telling us how your role or past experience has led to your knowledge of compressor controls?
Sure. Like, I have started my career with some kind, as a control engineer, basically. And first of all, I interacted with multiple kind of turbo machinery. Out of that, compressor is one where I felt like, okay, it's directly interacting with the plant process, and I got interest in this. And from there on, I was like, all these 16 plus years of experience, either it may be engineering or services, I have been dealing with compressors all around, actually.
Wow. Yeah, that's 16 plus years.
Absolutely, yes.
That is a good amount of time. Okay, so as I mentioned, we're talking about compressor controls, specifically related to surge phenomena on centrifugal compressors. Can you give a quick overview of what surging means and why it matters to users of control systems?
Sure. Like, when we say a compressor, a centrifugal compressor, usually it is used in the process industries. Like, you take it as oil and gas or chemical or fertilizers. And the biggest part of this is this centrifugal compressor is part of the process. It doesn't operate in isolation. So when it is a part of the process, it has its own operational challenges that we call it as a surge phenomena. And basically, the surge phenomena is a situation where the compressor is no more able to go ahead with the forward flow. And there is a kind of flow reversal happens of the gas inside the compressor. And this is because mainly due to the high delta P, delta pressure across the compressor. So when I say delta pressure, it's basically a big difference in the suction and discharge pressure. And we sometimes term in case of, like, for example, compression ratio. When we say compression ratio, it's nothing but a discharge pressure upon the suction pressure. And when it goes beyond the permissible limit, then this kind of flow reversal situation happens. Again, to add on this, this permissible limit definition changes based on the performance parameter. When I say performance parameter, this is basically, it could be a speed of the driver, or it could be a suction throttle, or the inlet guide vane, or sometimes it's like suction temperature and pressure as well. So basically, when I say all these things, it's basically saying something about the kind of three-dimensional map, actually. So this is the situation of the surge, and it is a super quick phenomena. It happens within fraction of second, basically. And the result could be very much catastrophic. Like, when I say sometime, it may like lead to like breakage of the equipment itself. Sometime, like, if people are nearby, it can be cause some kind of fatality or some kind of major gas leak kind of things, actually. So, which is like we are impacting the environment as well in case we miss this surge phenomena.
Wow. Yeah. So if I'm understanding correctly, the traditional flow is from the inlet to the outlet of the compressor. But when the surge phenomena happens, that flow somehow gets reversed. And so then the gas is going from the outlet to the inlet, and that's not how it's designed to work. So it can hurt the equipment. It can hurt people if they're standing near what should be the inlet, right? Because now all of a sudden this gas is coming out, and it can be dangerous, bad for the environment. Do I have it correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because the main idea is to take it, the compressor, what it does basically, it takes the gas from the suction inlet and it compresses the gas to a higher pressure and lower volume and puts it out to the downstream. But in case of surge, it's like a complete reversal, and the compressed gas is coming through back from the outlet to inlet. So you are absolutely right on that.
And now you talked about how this can happen because the pressure changes in the compressor, right? But the point at which that pressure or temperature is going to cause a surge depends on the given operation and condition, so it can vary.
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay.
Right. So basically, this is basically a performance parameter. So when I say a performance parameter, it is indicating something like, on a simple term, if I say, it's the speed, basically, speed of the prime mover. So whenever, for every speed of the prime mover, there would be certain limit of the like compressor saying that this is what it can deliver the compression ratio. And if we are moving beyond this permissible limit, that means we are entering into a surge situation, and it cannot continue with the forward flow, but it will go with the flow reversal.
Okay. And now why might this happen?
Sorry, come back again, Michelle, on that.
Why might this happen? Do you know, like, what would cause this to happen?
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, sure. Like, usually when it happens basically is like, suppose there is a sudden disturbance in the downstream where the consumer of the gas, like the process gas, suddenly stops consuming it. So there are no more the gas can go forward, and it stops there actually. So which will increase the discharge pressure at a sudden basically. So when the discharge pressure increases suddenly, the compression ratio of the across the compressor, it's like zoom up. So when it zooms up, then the flow, whatever it's happening right at that particular instant, would not be sufficient to cater this kind of differential across the compressor. So the ultimate path of the gas would be again come back through the same path where it traveled from inlet to outlet.
I see. Okay. So that makes sense, but it's also scary that can happen and can happen so quickly. So is there anything that users can do to protect against it?
Sure, absolutely. Like if we see when this kind of flow reversal situation happens, what we need to do is we need to provide a low resistance path, because now it's it's finding the low resistance path to be through the compressor. But instead of that, if we provide a low resistance path across the compressor with some kind of called as a recycle line. So if we provide that kind of recycle line, then we can, instead of this gas going through the compressor from discharge to suction, what we can do is we can pass it through the recycle line and put it on the suction. Basically, when this happens, what it will be like, we can equalize the pressure across the compressor. So when we equalize, there are no more like a high compression ratio, basically, which is discharge pressure upon suction pressure, which I said earlier. So when there is no high compression ratio, that means the flow, whatever it is having, there will be a continuation of the forward flow instead of reverse flow. Does that answer you?
Yeah, I think so. So you're saying you provide this alternative path that you call the recycle line, and this is only used in the case where something happens and you're going to get into a surge condition. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Because this is recycle line is like something like you are providing a low resistance path, but you cannot continue to provide this low resistance path for a longer period. Ultimately, our objective is to compress the gas and move it forward with a higher pressure and lower volume. So basically, this recycle line should be controlled.
Yeah, I was going to say, does it get controlled with the control system? It has to be smart enough to say, okay, if things are running properly, then you're going to continue with this main path, plan A. But then if all of a sudden downstream there's a disturbance and there's nowhere for the gas to go anymore and we're getting, you know, we could get into the surge condition, then it's smart enough to switch over to this alternative recycle line until the pressure is equalized and things are resolved, and then it'll switch back over to plan A. Is that done with the control system?
Absolutely. So this path, the recycle path, what we said, that need to be regulated. So instead of switching directly from one path to another, it need to be a regulation, a controlled regulation. So when I say controlled regulation, we need to put some kind of control valve over there. So that control valve, we need to slowly move, like we have opened it for surge condition, then we need to slowly come out of, when we are coming out of the surge condition, slowly we need to start closing that, and we need to allow the forward flow across the compressor again. So that's why we put a control valve. Usually we call it as a anti-surge valve. So when I say anti-surge valve, basically it's negating the action of the surge, basically.
Okay. And so then it seems like the control system needs to be able to handle this special programming. Do you have recommendations for customers when they're choosing a compressor control system on how to choose one that's going to be able to handle this situation?
Sure. So before talking about that, I would like to add on another point over here. Like this recycle valve, or what we call it as a anti-surge valve, basically it is doing a protection from the surge, right? So, and it also, like whenever this recycle valve opens, it basically would create some kind of, suddenly you are taking out the gas from the discharge and putting it at the suction. So you are making some kind of deficiency of the gas at the downstream. So usually this creates some kind of disturbance at the downstream process. So when we are putting this recycle valve and anti-surge valve and we are trying to control it, we should find a fine balance between protection and the plant process operation, so that we do not disturb the downstream process too much by operating this anti-surge valve. And now coming to your question on what should a customer look at whenever they are choosing for some kind of compressor control system. So basically the main things they should look at is like how many layers of protection this anti-surge system have, whether it's a single layer or dual layer or multi-layer basically. A multi-layer is always a good, would be a good selection basically. Why do I say that? Like when it's a multi-layered selection like approach, then you can have a very precise control and you can find a fine balance between like protection and the process operation basically. So that is one first point I as a customer would look at. Like, and the other thing is how customizable is this control system is. Like, for example, whenever we are putting an anti-surge system, if it is very rigid enough, okay, it need to work on that in particular way, then it may not be beneficial. Okay, definitely it would be protecting the machine, but ultimately the customer would be losing on, by opening the recycle valve, would be losing on the productivity. So this the control system, the anti-surge control system, should be smart enough, and it should be customizable as per the need of the customer. So there should be sufficient tools in this, like, okay, whenever customer says, I need such kind of things and all, if you are not rich in tools, then the customer may not be getting what they need, basically. So the other thing I would stress upon is the control system should be having, should be customizable as well as tool rich. And the other things what we need to see is,
customizable as well as what?
Customizable and the rich in tools.
Okay.
Rich in control tools, which we can apply based on the customer need. And the other thing what I would look at as a customer,
can you give an example of the rich in control tools?
Right, surely. So when I say rich in control tool, like, for example, there are two stages of the compressor, and basically like whenever there is a surge happening at the upstream, so there is a disturbance on the upstream of the compressor, basically the first stage would realize that faster, and the anti-surge means like the control system would act there actually. So there is a system called as decoupling. So decoupling is like, it's a feed forward kind of action when we are trying to, whenever this first stage is realizing the disturbance at the upstream, we don't wait for the after effect of the, which is coming onto the second stage. So what we can do is, like, we can see that disturbance and start acting on the second stage itself. So decoupling is a tool which would be used when there are multiple stages of compressor with their own recycle valves actually. So if the control system doesn't have this tool, and a customer comes up with multi-stage compressor with individual recycle valves, later on they may face this problem, like, okay, most of the time their control system is reactive rather than the proactive action actually. So
right. Now, is that just an example of a reach-in control tool? Are there others, or is that the what you mean when you say reach-in control tool?
Sorry, please come back on this question.
Are there more than one reach-in control tools, or is that the reach-in control tool is this decoupling system?
This is one of the examples actually. Like, okay. But there might be multiple tools actually, like and depending upon the what it is needed for the particular process, there should be certain tools, like certain controls, which would be fixed and applied on every project actually, every job actually, like every compressor whenever we are controlling. But there might be some other tools which may be used only as and when needed, depending on that kind of process it was.
Okay. Perfect. So that's good. Sorry, and, I think I interrupted you. I think you had something else you were saying.
No problem, no problem. So other thing as a customer, I should look at is, what is the control platform on which the algorithm is sitting on? Whether it's a like a robust enough, and it, when I say, means like whether it is easily maintainable. So these kind of things we should look at whenever we are choosing that compressor control system. And the last part I would like to stress upon as well, like whether that anti-surge control system is capable enough to interact with the prime mover control. So when I say prime mover control, a compressor is usually driven by some kind of prime mover. So it either it could be a steam turbine or gas turbine or a variable speed drive based on based motor basically. So there would be a control system for that as well. So when we have that interaction from antisense system to that prime mover system, then we can maximize that benefit actually. So if your antisense system is running in isolation, basically you will not get maximize that benefit of your antisense system. So usually most of the time you would be on the, as a customer, I would be on the losing side on my productivity. I would be saving my machine for sure, but I would be losing on the productivity side.
Gotcha. Okay, so let me see if I captured this right. I have five things that customers should consider when they're choosing a compressor control system, specifically related to anti-surge. So one is how many layers of protection the anti-surge has, could be single, dual, or multi. Two is how customizable is the control system. If it's very rigid, then they may lose productivity.
Sure.
Three is, does it have reach in control tools? And one example we talked about was a decoupling system that would make feed forward actions based on what's happening with the first stage before waiting for something bad to happen at the second stage.
Right.
But
and vice versa as well.
Sorry. And vice versa. Yep. Okay. And that was one example. There's other control tools. So, you know, checking to see if the control system offers those is important. The control platform that the algorithm is sitting on, is it robust and is it easily maintainable, right? We're constantly talking about life cycle maintenance here, right? And how hard that is for customers. And then the last thing is its ability to interact with the prime mover control, which would be the prime mover equipment that is, moving the compressor, which would be either could be a steam or gas turbine or a variable speed drive motor.
Absolutely. You have captured it correctly, Michelle.
Perfect. Perfect. I've gotten good at listening in these.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. And I think it's good because, you know, we kind of meander around on the topic and I think there's a lot of good information, but then just having a summary at the end, I know it helps me personally. So even if it helps nobody else, it helps me. So the last question I usually ask, we try to keep this podcast pretty vendor agnostic and hopefully we're just providing a lot of helpful information no matter what vendor customer is working with, but it is a Nexus Controls podcast. And so I do like to give some time at the end to talk about what Nexus Controls can do specifically. So could you talk about that?
Sure, absolutely. We, as a Nexus Control, we have a product called as Opticom. We named it as like something, it has come from like optimization of compressor control. So this meets all these needs. Like for example, when I talk, it has a multi-layer of like control, and it is very much customizable. And depending upon the need of the customer, we can enable some tool, disable some tools and all. So that is there. And it sits on two like robust control platform. Like one is our Nexus OnCore and the other is the legacy control, which is Mark 6E. So both the means like they are robust enough and easy maintainable. And we being a sister company of a compressor OEM, we basically, what we do is when we develop this, we have developed this algorithm, we put all the best practices and years of knowledge of the equipment onto the algorithm. So when it comes to like customer want to take our product, basically, even if they don't use our OEM product, basically, on the compressor, still they can get the benefits of our experience. So that is another thing. And as I said, like our this Opticom can interact with the prime mover control and deliver the maximum benefit for our customer, so that whenever it's used in conjunction with the prime mover control, then we can make very much very much efficient system for them compared to any product in the market.
Great. And so, as you mentioned earlier, right, this is going to be customized for each customer.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
And so, you go.
As I said, like some portion of the control would be always applicable. And like the multi-layer control would be always applicable. Other than that, there would be some tools part which would be specific to depending upon customer to customer need and the type of process and how the plan means how is the design of the compressor for that particular process. Based on that, we will enable or disable some of the tools.
Right. And I would imagine that one of the strengths that Nexus Controls brings is being able to go to any customer and depending on their specific operation and their specific needs, be able to provide a recommendation on how best to set up this anti-surge control to meet their unique requirements.
Exactly. That's absolutely correct.
Okay, perfect. So before we go, do you have anything else that you'd like to add that I maybe interrupted you or you didn't get a chance to go over?
No. You have given me ample of chance to speak about it. Thanks for that, Michelle. But I would like to add two more things on to discussion is one thing I would say select the best fit for your equipment, because this will enhance your life of your equipment, and this would be like a minimal recurring support in going forward in longer period. And other than that, we have that knowledge and the years of expertise in this domain, being a company, as I said, like a sister company of a OEM. So why not utilize our knowledge onto benefit of yours in the plant? So that's all.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been very interesting. I've learned a lot about compressor controls and surge in particular today. So I really appreciate it.
Pleasure speaking over here, Michelle. Thanks for giving me that opportunity.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a great day.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thanks, everyone, for joining me for today's episode of Interactive Control, where we discussed surge phenomena on centrifugal compressors. We at Nexus Controls hope you found this discussion helpful. If so, please subscribe to our podcast and tell all your control friends about us. You may also want to check out our website at nexuscontrols.com, where you can learn more about our compressor control and other offerings. Lastly, don't forget the title of this podcast is Interactive Control for a Reason. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover that we haven't yet, or if you'd be interested in being a guest on our show, please send me a message over LinkedIn or email, and we'll do our best to cover it in a future episode. Thanks again, and bye for now.